Today on The Journey.
You see, you build a legacy starting today. What are your kids going to say? Whatever they say will be determined by the things you start doing today.
The foundations of our culture are under siege. From the intact family to sexual expression, society is chipping away at God's design for stable homes. Even the church is groaning under the onslaught. So in this half hour, Ron Moore begins an examination of God's plan for marriage, family, and sexuality. In this series will be clear instructions on what you can do to protect the underpinnings of your home. Just before that, I want you to know about our offer of Ron's booklet titled, What the Bible Says About Marriage. You can order your copy when you visit our website at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a message titled, The Attack on the Journey.
A twofold purpose to this series is pretty simple. The first one is this. When we get finished with this, I want us all to be equipped with a biblical understanding of the issues that surround marriage and family. We have to understand what God says, not what the culture says, but what God says regarding marriage and family. And the second purpose is this, to personally apply the biblical truths of marriage and family. Because it does no good to know something and not apply it. Now, here's where we're headed. Next time, we're going to look at God's design for the family. What did God have in mind when he talked about marriage and family? What does his word say? And we want to be brutally realistic about marriage. It's tough. Two sinners get together. There's going to be some challenges there. And how are we going to make sure we stay together and honor God with our marriage? Young adults, I'm going to aim this thing pretty hard at you. You're not married yet, some of you, but you need to know what marriage is about because some adults, on one hand, are destructively over-desirous of marriage and, on the other hand, destructively dismissive of marriage. And you have an opportunity in your generation to understand what God says so that you can not only live it out, but you can share it with others as well. We're going to look at next. Biblical sexuality. Again, we're going to address this subject openly and honestly and biblically. Let me give you some statistics. These are statistics that were gained from research 2005 to 2009. The number of reported sexually transmitted diseases increased 43%, according to the Center of Disease Control and Prevention. Reported STDs have increased twice as fast as the national average in one prominent community. One state's health department reported STDs increased 71%. Those are statistics about people 55 years and older living in retirement communities in Arizona and Florida. How can we expect our teens to honor God with their bodies if parents and grandparents don't? Family is under attack, and so we're going to address divorce. Now, I know many of you have gone through that painful experience. And my purpose here is not to reopen wounds and put a pile of guilt on your head. But some of you are in second marriages, and you can't undo everything you've done in the past, and God has forgiven. But now you got to do it right. And some of you are going through some challenging times in your marriage, and you have got to stick with it. So let's see what God says regarding divorce. Let's see what God says about relationships, living together. You know, if you want to be married here at the Bible Chapel, you go online and you fill out an application. And living together has become so prevalent that now in the application, we ask, are you currently living together? And if you are, we're not going to marry you right away. We're going to have a long talk with you, and you're going to be separated for a specified time because we are not going to sanction your sin by marrying you. And you may be in that relationship. If you're living together, you are in that relationship for the wrong reasons. But hey, isn't marriage just a piece of paper? And if you buy a car, wouldn't you take it for a test drive? We'll talk about that. Attack on God's design, homosexuality. You guys know this is front page stuff. Homosexuality is a sin, like other sins, that we have to deal with, and we have to see where it is from Scripture. See what God's word says about it. By the way, this is not about bashing homosexuals. I have learned over the years that the majority of those struggling with this, and many do, by the way, are not marching in gay parades. They struggle painfully, and they struggle privately. And we're going to talk about that again in truth and in love. We want to wrap up the series by spending a couple times on God's design for parenting. Now, one thing I don't want to do, I don't want you just to come and, you know, hear some stuff and then go off. So my daily devotionals, you can sign up for those. They'll be in your inbox every morning. And then we can have a conversation daily. You can be reading those and be thinking about them. A verse, about 300 words usually, just to get you thinking during the day. The Journey, we've written what the Bible says about marriage, divorce, living together, and homosexuality. We want you to be equipped to be able to know in your own heart, but also answer questions that other people might have. Tunji Okun and I have recorded a series on biblical manhood. You can pick it up anytime on oneplace.com. You can go there and 24/7, you can hear the message. And guys, I got to tell you, during this series on the family, we're going to be looking you in the eyes a lot, because you were supposed to be the leaders of your home. Now, here's what's at stake. Hope of the world, life and eternity is Jesus Christ. And the message of Jesus Christ is proclaimed with a living organism he has left called the church. That's us. Sometimes we're together. Sometimes the church spreads out during the week into homes and businesses and schools. And the church is made up by what? Families. One old writer calls families the little church. And our church will be just as strong as our families. When our families are weak, the church will be weak. When we can't keep marriages together, we lose our platform to tell other people to keep their marriages together. As families, we have to understand what's at stake. Now, the family's under attack, right? And there's a lot of stuff out there. Here's some covers from Time Magazine just over the last couple of years. Who Needs Marriage was on one cover. Who Needs a Husband on another cover. The attack on the family, trying to destroy traditional marriage. Here's a Time Magazine cover, gay marriage already won. And infidelity, hey, it's in our genes, according to Time. It's there. I mean, how can we even deal with it? The attack from the outside. So this summer, Laura and I are in Oklahoma, and one of our relatives said, have you guys ever watched this show, 24? It's a great show. It started back in 2001 and ran for a few years. Okay, so Laura and I are now hooked on 24. It's about a counter-terrorist unit, and they are going through their day, a 24-hour day, making sure that the terrorists don't attack. And the main character is Agent Jack Bauer. Jack Bauer is my new hero. I love Jack Bauer. I want to be Jack Bauer. I am Jack Bauer. So the counter-terrorist unit, the CTU, always has their hands full. Nuclear bomb or nerve gas or anthrax or assassin on the loose. And during this 24-hour day, they're always working to find it. Right when they find one assassin, another one gets over. I mean, you got to fill up the 24 hours. But you know the biggest threat to CTU? The biggest threat to the CTU is the mole inside. Those who are inside the president's cabinet or sometimes in the counterterrorist unit, those inside who are working for the enemy. So let's just be honest. The main attack on the family is not out there. It's right here. We are the moles inside. And the fix is not more government regulations or better education or social reform or the economic strength of our country. As Christians, we are called to live out the biblical truth. And when we don't, the world looks at us as hypocrites. And too often, we're like that conservative Republican who ran for president last time, espousing conservative values, having left his first wife when she was sick, and his third wife sitting by his side, the same woman he had an affair with that cratered his second marriage. And he's going to tell me about conservative values. You see, as long as we are willing to deflect the problems out there, we never deal with the problem right here. If it's always your fault, it's never my fault. If it's always the government's fault, or Hollywood's fault, or the media's fault, then I don't have to deal with it. And some people will go to their graves blaming their problems on everybody else, never dealing with the issues of their heart and their marriage and their family. Okay, take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to close today by giving you a confession of faith repeated daily by pious Jews and then every day in the synagogues. We're going to read through it, and from this material, I'm going to ask you 7 questions. So get out a piece of paper and a pencil and get ready to take 7 question tests. School's back in session. 7 questions, and I want you to rate how you're doing on each of these questions, 1 to 5. 1, I stink at this. I am not good at this at all. I got a lot of work to do. 5, nailed it. Don't have any work to do on that one. All right? You be honest before God. 1 to 5. God's going to grade your paper. How's that? God's going to grade your paper, so you be honest before Him. After we get done, I'm going to ask you to make a decision on one thing that God has convicted you on as we move through this. Okay. Chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel. By the way, this is called the Shema. From that first word, hear, is the Hebrew word Shema. The Shema was repeated by the pious Jew every day and in the synagogues once a week. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. 2 critical things in that first verse that may well be deal breakers for you. First is the personal pronoun, the Lord our God. That's the first question. Is the Lord your God? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ alone? Not in your CCD class, not in your confirmation, not in your infant baptism, not in your family's tradition. Have you personally trusted in Jesus Christ alone? Can you say, the Lord is my God through Jesus Christ? How are you doing on that one? That's the first question. Second one is the Lord your only God? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Moses is saying here, God does not accept competition. Is He the God of your life? When you evaluate your life, seriously, is money your God? Really? What passions do you wake up thinking about? Can you say with integrity, yeah, commandment number 1, you shall have no other gods before me. I'm good there. That's the second question. How are you doing? 1 through 5. Verse 5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. We could dive into each word there, but for now, here's the third question. Do you demonstrate your love for God with your whole person? Your thinking, your attitudes, your desires, your passion, your time, your energy. I mean, do you really demonstrate your love for God with your whole person? Or are you kind of a Christian at church, but you're not really a Christian at work because that business is tough. And Ron, you don't know anything about it, but in business, it's really tough. And so I can't really be a Christian there. I got to be tough. Or classes, hey, you don't know my peer group. Man, I'd get blasted if I stood up for Christ there. Again, that's called hypocrisy. That's a lack of integrity. Integrity is a wholeness. Are you a believer in every area of your life? How are you doing? 1 through 5. Verse 6. These commandments that I give you today shall be upon your hearts. These commandments Moses is referring to are the Ten Commandments that he's just restated in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy. These commandments, the summation of the law, are to be upon your hearts. So number 4, are you grounded in the foundations of the faith? That's knowledge. And are you living grounded? That's practice. In other words, do you know why you believe what you believe? Who is God? Who's Jesus? Who's the Holy Spirit? What are your gifts? What's the church? What's your mission in life? The foundations of the Christian life. How are you doing? Are you grounded in the foundations of the faith? Are you living grounded? 1 through 5. Verse 7. Impress them, the commandments, on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Here's the 5th question. Are you diligently teaching your children in your home how to love and serve God by your words and your actions? The word impress means to repeat. It means to teach diligently. And by the way, you can't teach something you don't know. And so you have to be grounded in order to teach it. Remember, you cannot impart what you don't possess. So how are you doing? Are you diligently teaching your children? It's not the Christian school's responsibility. Not the youth group's responsibility. Not the private school's responsibility. Are you diligently teaching your children how to love and serve God by your words and your actions? Look at verse 8. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. The question is this: are your thoughts and habits pleasing to God? The Pharisees, of course, they took that literally, and so they had the phylacteries that they wore around their heads with the Ten Commandments. Remember, Jesus' harshest words were for the Pharisees, you hypocrites. It doesn't matter if you carry a Bible around. It doesn't matter if a Bible's sitting on your desk at work or a picture of Jesus is in your front room. Are you living these things out? Are your thoughts and your habits pleasing to God? That's the 6th question, and then 1 more. Verse 9, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And here's the question: does your home stand out as uniquely Christian? So what do people say when they drive by your house? Oh, the Smiths live there. Nicest house in town. Smiths live there. Yeah, most weekends they're off skiing at the lake or up in the mountains. There's the Smiths. Isn't their yard just manicured so beautifully? There are the Smiths. I don't know. The dad, I think, is a big wig at some company, and the mom works at some big to-do law office across from the courthouse. There are the Smiths, very involved in the community. There are the Smiths. They go to church. Now, none of those things are wrong in and of themselves, but wouldn't you rather hear? There's where the Smiths live. Man, I tell you what, they are strong. Christian family. Satan loves to keep us focused on things that we can't do anything about. So we can burn all our energy saying the family's under attack and we got to fix it in Washington. Satan loves that. Jesus says, fix your heart. Starts right here. C.S. Lewis wrote this great book called The Screwtape Letters. If you haven't read it, you need to. And it's from Satan's perspective. It's a senior devil teaching a junior devil the art of temptation. And here's one of the things in the book. The senior devil is teaching the junior devil, the great thing is to prevent the Christian from doing anything. As long as he does not convert it into action, it doesn't matter how much he thinks about his new repentance. Let the little brute wallow in it. Let him, if he has any bent, write a book about it. This is often an excellent way of, listen to this, sterilizing the seeds. Sterilizing the seeds. And Satan would want nothing more than for you just to have some great ideas, some good knowledge, but not do anything about it. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Of those seven questions, I want you to look back through them, and I want you to determine one thing that you're going to do. During this series, you're going to crank it up. You're at a one or two right now, and you're not satisfied with that. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I want you to write that decision down as a physical determination. I'm going to do something about this. I'm not going to sterilize the seeds. You may say, you know what? Our marriage is disconnected. Our family is dysfunctional. We're going to do something about it. One of the things that makes me want to throw up is when a couple comes in and says, we're calling it quits. We've been having trouble for 5 years. And I look at the man and say, where were you 5 years ago? You knew you were having trouble then. Why didn't you come in 5 years ago and get it handled? You're the man. Deal with your issues. Lead your family. So you're saying today, I'm going to do something about it. Or you may say, I'm not grounded. I really couldn't tell anyone why I believe what I believe. Well, I'm going to do something. Or you might say, I'm addicted to something. I'm addicted to pornography. I'm going to get some help here. You need to go do something about it. Make a decision. We want our home to be uniquely Christian. Yeah, I think people in our house would say, well, they live in a really nice house, but I don't think they'd say we're a strong Christian. So what are you going to do in your neighborhood to demonstrate that you're on fire for Jesus Christ? And I'm not talking about putting a Christian flag out front. I'm talking about doing some things, not to impress people, but to let them know where you stand with Christ. You say, Ron, I can't. I'd love to do that. My kids are gone and they're older. Then use your frequent flyer miles to get on a plane. How impactful would it be for you to go sit with your kid over a burger at college or in their home and say, you know what? I just got to tell you, I didn't do everything right. And I'm sorry. But I'm recommitting my life to Jesus Christ. And I want you to know I am praying for you and your family every day. Anything I can do to help you. And how impactful would that be? You see, you build a legacy starting today. So you ready for that? What are your kids going to say? Whatever they say will be determined by the things you start doing today.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast. Are you concerned about our society's drift from lifelong commitment and marriage? Do you worry about that influence on your children's view of matrimony? And just what is God's design for marriage anyway? Well, those concerns are addressed in Ron Moore's helpful guide titled, What the Bible Says About Marriage. In this publication, Ron conducts a grace-filled examination of the contentious issues that are crippling our families and dividing our society. Drawing from landmark studies and biblical instruction, he offers encouragement for those seeking to build a God-honoring home. What the Bible Says About Marriage is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
I want to start by working through God's design for marriage. Now, we could go to many passages in Scripture to talk about this. In fact, I believe every passage that deals with relationship should be applied to marriage first. Reckless words pierce like a sword. That should be applied to marriage first. Because this is the foundational unit that God has to build His church. And if it's crumbling at that level, it's going to crumble at every other level as well. There are two passages that I want to look at today. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, and Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. And from these passages, I want to draw five essential elements of a successful marriage. Now, there are a lot of things we talk about. There is communication tools. But the five essential elements of marriage are found in these two verses.
We trust you'll join us for that message next time. And please remember that Ron's insightful guide called What the Bible Says About Marriage is yours for a gift of any amount. You'll find it at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. Biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that The Journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018, 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on The Journey.